I'm so thankful to have Bishop Meade here with us tonight. We appreciate him. Before he comes, I wanted to tell you a little bit about him. He has been responsible for forming the corporations and doing a lot of the legal work for hundreds and hundreds of churches across the country in our movement. The movement owes him an incredible, incredible debt for his counsel. You just don't know the situations that have been thrown on his shoulders. So he's got a lot on him, and he was going through a sickness this past year. And I know he's been a part of many, many church boards. And the word on the street was that he was getting off of all of those church boards. So I kept waiting to figure out how I was going to talk him out of getting off of ours. And thank the Lord he's had mercy on us. And when he dropped other people, he didn't drop us. And we love him. We appreciate him. Now, so you understand, we've had some men come through. Bishop Holmes, Bishop Bass, Bishop Pearson, who I've told you were elders. Now, Brother Meade is an elder, but he's also a member of our church board. He and Brother Hood are the two external members of our church board. So what that means is if you ever have a problem with me, that's the man you go to right there. You don't even have to come to me. You can go straight to him, and if I need it, he can iron me out and take care of me, whatever he needs to do. I really, really do appreciate Bishop Meade. This is a wise and a balanced man. We love you. We're glad you're here tonight. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise as he comes?
Praise the Lord, everybody. You may be seated. God bless you tonight. Hope you all are doing okay tonight. And I prayed for all of you today. I said, God, I want you to help everybody that walks in the door tonight to be interested in what you have to say to them, to somehow get something they need from God in times like these. Everybody needs a word from the Lord. I need a word. We all need a word from the Lord. Let me say, it's an honor to be here tonight. I give honor to your pastor. Pastor Jordan Copeland, his wife and family, and of course, special honor to Bishop Copeland, his good wife, and to all the ministry represented. Brother Pounds, good to see you, and all the saints and guests that are here tonight, I give you honor. I'm glad to see you. I tried to get out of this tonight. I would have loved to have heard Pastor preach or any of these other men, but he did not seem to give me any wiggle room. And so I'm going to do my best to be a blessing tonight. I thank God for his keeping power. I thank God for his providence and his faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. So we do have some history with First Pentecostal Church here in Beaufort. And I don't know how long ago it was, the first time I came, but it's been a little while. Maybe we won't try to find out just how long, but some of you faces, I look, I say, I think I remember them. You just aged. I don't know what happened. You aged a little bit. And but it's good to see you, good to see new faces, young people here, families here, and to see what God is still doing in this church, in this city. Aren't you glad the Lord still loves us? Still interested in what we're doing? I will praise him. I will bless him. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. And everybody said, praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you. God bless you. And we're thankful for another opportunity to be here. Been a lot of things that's happened since we were here last. This past year has been a very revealing and trying year for not just individuals, for the church, for the world. And I feel like we're seeing God orchestrating things for the soon coming and the appearing of the Lord for his church and his bride. If we ever know anything about the Word of God and talking of signs and end of times, surely we can perceive that God's hand is in what's going on in this present world. The blessing for us is we have an exit strategy. The world doesn't have one, but God has given his church an exit strategy. He said, all you got to do is watch and pray and keep looking for that soon coming and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he said, don't get weary in well-doing. Praise the Lord. For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. I'm still looking for the Lord to come back. Take a church out of this old world. So I want to stay ready. If you're not ready, get ready. If you are ready, stay ready. Because at any time, the Lord could come and take us out of here. I'm also very excited about the vision that Pastor Jordan and the church leadership has for the expansion efforts of the church. The blessings God has provided in marvelous ways. I mean, it just don't happen to everybody. It don't happen every day where city comes along and says, we're not going to let you leave and relocate. We're going to make it so good for you, you'll stay right here. That's not a coincidence. That's the hand of God working for us. We were blessed. Since I've been here last, I've also, as Bishop has, made a transition from pastoring the church where I pastored in Akron, Ohio for 31 years, and was blessed to pass the baton of pastorship over to my son. And so we have a common thread here, as Bishop was able to pass it on to his son. And I was so blessed to do the same thing, that God allowed that to be possible. That's not something you can just say it's going to happen. It's got to be the hand and the will of God to happen. But when it is the will of God, it's absolutely exciting to see continuity and see the work of God go on in the direction of the former leadership of the church. Praise the Lord. We were blessed right before the year before I transitioned to get a new facility, another facility. It wasn't brand new, but it was to us. The Lord blessed us to move from a 5,000 some square foot facility to a 26,000 square foot facility and 10 acres of land. And it was like $1.8 million. We got it for $700,000. And we were blessed. I'm telling you. Now we're seeing the ability to expand, have revival. We got buses in the parking lot. We're busing them in. We're bringing them in. Baptisms, Holy Ghost outpouring. It's a great day to be serving God. A great day to be serving God. And I'm glad to see that energy that my son has and this pastor has that I had when I was their age. You couldn't stop me, couldn't hold me back, and you couldn't this good bishop either. It was going, I mean, we were going 100 mile an hour plus 24/7 if we could. And I've told folks many times, I says, you know, I might burn out, but I'll never rust out, I promise you that. I'm going to do it as long as I can. So it's good to see the work of God progressing, going forward. People have the vision. Oh, leadership coming along, picking up the baton. God's good to us is all I can say. God is very good to us. Praise the Lord. So I feel like you don't have anything to worry about, because God still is the author and the finisher of our faith. Keep trusting the Lord. I want to be a blessing tonight. I ask God to help me to say something that'll help somebody. And that's all I want to do tonight. If I can help you get the next few steps down the road, then I've accomplished my mission tonight. To see you get a little more faith in God, to see your vision expand even a small bit, to see you say, you know what, I feel like I can make it another day. I can go another hour. I can go another mile. It's worth everything. If you have your Bibles tonight, thank you, Brother Copeland, for the invitation. I count it an honor to be in this pulpit again, and for the Lord bringing me through a little bit of a physical situation last year. Had a very simple, minor surgery, gallbladder removal, but it turned into an 8-month post-surgery nightmare for some reason. But God touched me October the 14th, and I've been improving ever since, and that's the place. Got past whatever it was. I lost 55 pounds last year. Somebody said, "Did you go on a diet?" Not the kind I wanted to. And so I had to change my eating structure and all that. But anyhow, God's good to me. I thank Him for His mercy and His grace. If you have your Bibles, would you go with me tonight? Would you go with me to the book of 1 Kings in the Old Testament? I'd like to introduce you to a man in the Bible that is first introduced to us right here in this passage of Scripture. And the man I want to introduce to you is probably no different than anybody else here in the building today. He was just a common man. He was come on the scene. He was already busy. He was grown. He was going through life. If you go to 1 Kings chapter number 19, we have a prophet introduced to us in the book of Kings by the name of Elijah. And Elijah being one of the major prophets and a tremendous man of God. Various miracles and victories. And I'm telling you, what a prophet, what a man of God. And so, as he was journeying, he was headed towards a transition moment in his life. And God was directing his path. And so he was leaving and going towards another destination. And the Bible says in verse number 19 of the 19th chapter of the book of 1 Kings, Elijah taught, he departed thence. He was on his way out to a destination. And he found a man by the name of Elisha. Elijah departed, found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. And this man, Elisha, was plowing. He was working his job. He was working his vocation. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. And the Bible said the man of God, Elijah, was not intending to go to him. He just passed by him. And the Bible said he cast his mantle upon him. In the process, it says, when he'd done that, and passed on by, that the man Elisha, the farmer, The man who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. The Bible said when that mantle touched him and he realized a transition moment, that he left the oxen in verse 20 and ran. So he wasn't that close. He ran after Elijah the prophet. And he said, "Let me, allow me, I pray thee, to kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And so Elijah the prophet said to this man he passed by, he said unto him, "Go back. What have I done to thee? What's my connection? What influence have I had? What is my intention? Go on back. I have no direction for you." And the Bible said in the last verse of the chapter, verse 21, Elisha returned back from Elijah or him. And he said he took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, gave unto the people, they did eat. Then he arose, went after the man of God, Elijah, and ministered unto him. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you in Jesus' name. This got a hold of me. This isn't a new historical rendition that I've read. It's one I've went over many times. But something got a hold of me when I read this for another time. And the Lord seemed to impress me with a thought I want to pass on to you tonight. Elisha was no different than many of us. He had a life. He had a family. He had a mother. He had a father. He had a job. He had an investment. He had a plan. And when a man had 12 yoke of oxen, he has made in the farming days of those times an accomplishment in his life. And with that, he didn't just have oxen, but he had fields, and he also had instruments to work the fields that was pulled and managed by the oxen themselves. And so he wasn't just standing by the side of the road waiting on an opportunity. Elisha's plan that day was to get up and go to work. I don't care what anybody says, that's still a good plan. I'm not sure everybody's convinced of that, because I see a lot of hiring signs in my town. They can't get help. I said, "Man, if those signs had been around when I was a teenager, I felt like I died and went to heaven." But I said, I thought Elisha was doing something that anybody ought to have a plan to do. That's get up and go to work. That wasn't the first day that Elisha ever got up and went to work. It just happened to be another work day. Not waiting for somebody to come by and say, "I'm going to give you something." He said, "My plan is I'm going to work. I'm not waiting for somebody else to do it. I'm not waiting on somebody else to increase my unemployment so I don't have to. I think my plan is if I'm going to ever have anything in life, I better plan on getting up and going to work. I don't feel entitled. I don't feel like somebody owes me something. I feel like the best plan in my life is to get up, go to work, and be productive. Make something happen in my life." So I could say it this way. Elisha had a plan A in his life. Everybody ought to have a plan A. I didn't say it's the only plan you'll have, but you ought to have a plan A. His plan A was demonstrated by the Bible saying, as the prophet was passing by, there was Elisha, 12 yoke of oxen, standing with the 12th plow, working in the field. Just so happened to be that when the prophet came by, he felt impressed of God to lay his mantle on that working man. And the Bible said the mantle was laid, just laid, touched Elisha. But there was something different about the mantle of Elijah than any other mantle that ever touched that man. The mantle of Elijah had the inspiration, the power of the Spirit of God attached to it. And when the man of God touched him with the mantle, he didn't say nothing to him. He just picked his mantle up and kept on walking. But something happened to the farmer when that mantle of the prophet touched him. And he felt a call. He felt something happen in him that never happened before. And something said to him, it don't give us the detail, but I'm convinced that the spirit that touched him said, you need to stop what you're doing, change your plans, and follow that prophet right there. I know this wasn't in your plan, Elisha, today, to ever leave your plowing and leave your farm and leave what you're doing. But I'm telling you, today you need to change your plans. And the Bible says he ran after the prophet and must have said, I'm going to follow you, old prophet. Let me first go back and kiss my mother and my father, and then I'm going to come back and follow you. The prophet said, do what you want to. I never told you to do this. I don't have any power over you. Do what you feel led to do. But Elisha decided something supernatural had happened in the course of his planned life. And what was plan A when he woke up that morning changed in the middle of the day. And God said, I have another plan A for you. Praise the Lord. It had to be a step of faith to go back and tell his family, you're not going to understand this. You may not even believe it. But I feel like God has spoken to me to follow the prophet Elijah and minister unto him. Some family member might have said, well, what did he offer you? What kind of remuneration are you going to get? What kind of benefits are you going to have? He wasn't offered anything by the prophet Elijah, just a call in his life that you need to follow a new plan in your life. And he decided to do it. In the process of changing his plans, he said, you know what? My plan for my life was to be a successful farmer and a businessman. And I have 12 yoke of oxen. I have plowing instruments. I have equipment. But if I really believe that my plan A needs to change, and that's my goal in life, then I need to be sure that I get rid of plan B. Plan B now became his oxen, his plowing equipment, and his fields. He said, if I'm really going to believe in plan A in my life, then I can't have a plan B to fall back on. I cannot have something. If things get tough in plan A, I can't say, I'll just go back to what I was doing. I'll just go back to plan B. He said, no, when I get through here, there'll be nothing to come back to. It'll be over. When I step off this property, I get on that road, and I head down to meet the prophet and minister to him. If it don't work, there's nothing to go back to. It's got to work. I've got to make it happen. Oh, somebody clap your hands now and praise the Lord. I like to preach for a few minutes to everybody tonight and just call it Plan A. Everybody say Plan A. In serving God, what a directional change it was. You could testify to it tonight. The day, the night you walked into an apostolic church, you had other plans. Your life was in a different direction. But you was in a, the old song said, I went to a meeting one night and my heart wasn't right. But something, I can't explain it, but something got a hold of me. Something, I don't know what it was, I can't explain it, but I know one thing, after that night, my whole plans changed. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. So Elisha, all of a sudden, changed to a new Plan A. But just to let everybody know, somebody says, okay, go ahead. You. In fact, I've heard people say about people coming to live for God. Oh, they won't last 6 months. They'll be back out in the world. When my mother and dad came in church in 1952, all the relatives said, oh, they won't stay that way long. Give them 3 months. Give them 6 months. Well, it's been 60-some years. Forget the 3 months. Forget the 6 months. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get rid of Plan B, you will make it all the way to the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Elisha said, just so you may be seated. Elisha said, just so you understand how I feel about what's going on. So you understand, I'm not just on some kind of an abstract venture, and I'm not some kind of a pipe dream. I'm telling you, when I leave this property, there's nothing to come back to. I'm killing the oxen. I'm burning the equipment. So why don't you put it in storage in case? You know, just... That's not a wise decision, Elisha. You can lease it out and, you know, rent it out or put it in storage. And if things don't go good in this new plan, you can always come back to this plan. No, he said, I'm going to tell you something. There's something about what I felt today. I'll never be back. To be sure I don't come back, I'm going to burn all my bridges behind. Sometimes we sing a song, used to, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I don't know about you, but I'm on my way to heaven tonight. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And if I don't live for God and serve God, I got nothing to go back to. I didn't save nothing in the world in case. I didn't hold on to no. I didn't tell some friends, hang around till I get back. I didn't tell nothing in the world. Just wait a while. I may be back. When I walked out, it's goodbye, old world. Goodbye. I'm determined. I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. Somebody shout, praise the Lord. You may be seated. So what Elisha done, he said, ladies and gentlemen, mom and dad, here's my plan A. And just to let you know that this change is more permanent than you recognize, I got to make, you know, change. If you're going to change, it has to make a statement. Change has to make a statement. His statement was, the cattle are dead, the oxen are dead, and the plows are on fire. I'm burning my worldly assets. What if that don't work? It's got to work, because I have nowhere else to go. I'm burning up plan B. Now, the world teaches you, and in finance world, which I've been in for many, many years in accounting, they teach you always have another plan. Back up. Diversify. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Oh, I had that preached to me by professors in college till I had it memorized. Whatever you do, and so we teach in finance and different aspects of life, don't do it all. Diversify. In case this don't work, you still got this. If this stock goes busted, you got one that's still up. Okay? You diversify. But when it comes to God, there is no diversification. Once you're called by the Spirit of God and you repent of your sins, you get baptized in Jesus' name and your sins are washed away and the blood gets applied, and then the mantle of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the power of God infills you with His presence. I'm telling you, it will give you a transition moment. Praise the Lord. Now you say, Brother Meade, when did Elisha's ministry start? We know he got a ministry. He was a farmer. But where did his ministry start? When he was in Sunday school, or, you know, children's church, or, you know, wherever? No, I'll tell you, the Bible tells us, let's read it. The Bible tells us where his ministry started. It says right here, and I believe this. Verse 21. He took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen. That's when his ministry started. It started when he burned up, got rid of anything that he could go back to. It started with a commitment. Said, so what's your plan, Elisha? Only one plan. I'm doing what God just called. I'm following the man of God to minister unto him. God's got a different plan for my life. Praise the Lord. He burned the plying equipment to cook the meat, to give it to the people. Then he said goodbye and went to follow the man of God and minister unto him. Now, here's what he did. He could not go back to his old way of life, because he had destroyed the time machine that would bring him back. When you live for God, it's plan A. When you become a child of God, it's not plan A, and then if it don't work out, I got a plan B or plan C or plan D. No, no, it's all plan A. There is no alternatives. There is nothing else to fall back on. It's Jesus only. It's heaven. Heaven is my goal. I'm on my way. Every day when I wake up in the morning, I got my mind stayed on Jesus. Every morning, this could be the day that the rapture takes place. And the church, I woke up this morning and said, God, the trumpet might sound today. Hey, folks, I've been saying that for years. They told me to start saying that, Brother Pound, when I was 16 years old. The Lord could come today. The Lord could come today. I'm far removed from 16 years old. But guess what I did this morning? I woke up saying, the Lord could come today. The Lord. I haven't changed my plan. Haven't changed my ideas. Haven't changed my purpose. I still believe it. The Lord could come today. I've been called stupid for feeling that way. I said, call me what you want to. I've only got one plan in my life. That's the Lord coming back and me getting out of here. I've had them say this. What if he don't come today? Then I'll wake up tomorrow morning and say the Lord could come today. Well, what if he don't come tomorrow morning? I'll wake up the next morning. The Lord could come today. One of these days, I'll say it for the last time. I know this. My plan's going to work. I burned every bridge behind me. There's nothing to go back to. It's plan A, living for God, serving God every day of my life. Somebody clap your hands and praise the Lord. Elisha's ministry started when he burned the plow and killed the oxen. It was the end of Elisha the farmer and the beginning of Elisha the prophet. Every one of you had a transition moment where you walked in one day as a sinner, walked out a saint. Look what the Lord has done. That same thing that happened to Elisha the farmer happened to Don Meade as a young boy. As I was trying to find my young way through life, I listened to preaching, I listened to Sunday school teachers, and somebody said, you know, I thought, well, wait a minute, I'm young, maybe. But one day something happened to me. The Holy Ghost got a hold of me. And I got into the Spirit of God. I said, God, if you'll just fill me with the Holy Ghost, I'll serve you all the days of my life. I made that promise when I was 8 years old. I'm 72 this year. I'll be 73, but I'm telling you, I haven't changed my plan, haven't changed my mind. I still plan to serve Him all the days of my life. You may be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. Now, it doesn't matter what you're trying. It doesn't matter if you're trying to lose weight. Maybe you've never had that problem. If you're trying to lose weight, or if you're trying to get into graduate school, or if you want to write a book, or you want to start a business or a ministry, or if you want to get out of debt. The first step is always the longest and the hardest step to take. That first step, if I can just make that first step, oh my God. I have personal illustrations, but I remember when I went into business for the first time in my life in Princeton, West Virginia in 1976. Amen. A man offered to sell me a muffler shop business. I had never been a mechanic. I worked in machine shops, done accounting, but I hadn't done no auto mechanic. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. You take this business and I'll sell it to you. Don't owe me a dime. You owe me 10% of the sales until it's paid off, $36,000. He said, you'll start 30 days from now. And so I borrowed Brother Copeland $100 to start my business. I said, God, this $100 ain't going to go 3 days. I've never been an auto mechanic, but I tell you what, if you'll help me, God, it'll work. I'll make it go. And so I was working a pretty good job as an auditor in a lawyer's firm, brother. I might have told this story here before, but I worked for three attorneys, and I was their accountant, tax and all that. Pretty nice little job. Nice office with all that cherry wood furniture. You know, I felt like, boy, I could ride in the president's Mercedes, park my old rusted out Volkswagen in the back somewhere and ride his Mercedes and walk to the courthouse and have me a briefcase like he had a briefcase. I wasn't making no money, but it looked good. So the attorney said to me, he said, Mr. Meade, he said, let me tell you something. He said, we'll give you another $200 a month raise to stay with us. There's a future here. And so I said, I'm going to pray about this. And I went home and I said, and God seemed to say, there's no future like stepping out and believing that I can make a way where there is no way. As clear as a bell. I went in, gave my notice, borrowed my $100, opened up a little United muffler checking account. Went through the door of that muffler shop that day, and I started praying in Jesus' name, send somebody in here that needs some exhaust work on their car. Would you believe God let me sit there for 3 hours and nobody showed up? I said, God, I missed it. But I had to learn something else, to be patient and wait on the Lord. Amen. Elisha didn't become a full-blown prophet the first day he followed Elijah. It took a while. Oh, my God. So anyhow, it started. Finally, when God started making it happen, I'm telling you, I seen it unfold. I burned the opportunity behind me that I could go back to that lawyer. He said, if you leave this lawyer's firm, you can't come back. I'm going to get some. Don't even come back if it don't work. I said, okay. I won't come back. My wife said, what are you going to do? I said, this has got to work. I got to make this work. And it did until it turned into the Lord blessing it. I probably turned into a Midas muffler shop, Firestone tire store, $750,000 a year back in 1978. God let me have the biggest thing, Brother Pounds, going in that county. They even asked me to run for mayor. I said, I'm not going that far, my God. I don't need no politics. Lord have mercy. But the whole thing is, I had to burn some things. I had to get rid of plan B. Because there was a few days in that business when I started. If I could have got to go back, I'd have walked back and said, I want my desk back. I want my briefcase back. Because there were days like that. And when you come to live for God, you're going to have some days. You better burn those things behind. You better get rid of those other plans. Because there'll be days where you'll say, my Lord, I'm going through a trial and a test. Can I make it? And God said, just keep holding on. There's better days ahead. There's better days ahead. Praise the Lord. So whatever you do, you got to take that first step. You can't just take a step forward into plan A. You have to eliminate the possibility of moving back into the past. That's why when you come to God and repent, get baptized, you get rid of all those sinful things. My dad came in his day. He said he used to go to a little old bar right near the trailer park where we lived, Shirley's Tavern, it was called. He'd stop and get a drink, play some pool with the guys, you know. He got the Holy Ghost, come back out. The man said, hey, Joe, let's go to the bar, play some pool, get us a couple drinks. He said, I'm not coming. What's wrong? He said, I don't go there no more. What happened to you? The Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost. I got born again. Oh, you got religion. And I can't go back to where I used to go. And never went back again. I'm telling you. Plan A, serving God, is the best thing that ever happened in your life. I don't care what your age is, what your position is. Quit letting the devil tell you there's another. No. There is no other way. There is no other plan. It's serving God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. Somebody clap your hands and praise Him right now. Clap your hands and praise Him right now. You've got to eliminate any possibility of going back into your past. We had some people recently just come to, new people come to the altar. It was neat. I hadn't seen this in a long time. Come to the altar, and they threw their cigarettes on the altar. I hadn't seen that in a long time. Pull them out of their pocket, put their cigarettes there. Put their lighters on there. I said, whoa. One guy put something I've never seen before. Someone said, it's a crack pipe. I said, what? What's a crack pipe? I've never seen. Lay it on the altar right there. I said, wow, get that out of there. Get him rid of that. Praise God. Another person walked up and had a, it looked like he pulled some, had some weeds or something in his pocket. He pulled, laid, I said, what in the world? Putting grass on the altar. I said, that ain't grass, that's marijuana. I said, get it off the altar, my God. But what it was, they was putting on the altar anything that they could go back to. One lady walked up. Listen. You say, did you get up and tell folks they couldn't smoke cigarettes and they couldn't take dope? We didn't say one thing about smoking cigarettes and taking dope. They just walked up. They felt something they never felt before. They got under conviction. They said, if I'm going to live for God, I can't do this no more. It's over. It's over. It's over. Maybe you see, my son was baptized, a new convert, a black man, Brother Dino. Man, Brother Dino, he got under the power of God. He said, I got to be baptized. He's repenting, got to be baptized. He went to the baptist, but he had a little earring in his ear. He told my son, he said, oh, whoa, don't baptize me yet. He said, take this out of my ear. My son said, I don't know how to take that out of your ear. He said, no, get it out. I don't want to go down with that in my ear. He said, get it out. My son trying to get it out. He said, I don't know how to get it out. Dino said, somebody help me get this out of my ear. And finally got it out, went down in Jesus. He said, I'm not going to get back. Nobody told him to take his earring out of his ear. Nobody told Elisha to burn his plow, to kill his oxen. I can't read where nobody told him to do that. He said, I'm going to do, if I'm going to do plan A, follow the man of God, I can't have a plan B. I'm not going back to what I used to. Praise God. There is no turning back. No turning back. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I remember in history, taking some history classes back when I was in school, and they talked about a Spanish man from Cuba, Hernando Cortez. And way back, he landed at Veracruz in 1519. He's going to begin to conquest Mexico. And he had 500 men. And many of his men said, I want to go to steal and get gold and trade and bring it back to Cuba. Man, we're going to have money and get back here real quick. And so they got divided about their desire for fame and wealth. And then they got divided, their fear of death and defeat. They said to Cortez, there were only 500 men. Cortez said that our hearts must be doubly courageous. They said, but we're dying of fevers and Indian attacks. He said, then let us bury our dead at night so that our enemies will think we're immortal. What a leader. Then one of the men said, let's go back to Cuba. Let's sail back. And Cortez says, we would, but there's no ships to sail back on. I have sunk the ships right here. He burned every ship they came on, so there was no going back. They said, well, if that's the case, let's go ahead and win the victory. For nothing to go back to, let's fight like we never fought. Let's do what we think's impossible. I'm telling you, you let the devil know you're not going back to where you come from. You let the devil know, I'm not going back to where God brought me out of. I'm not going back to the world. I'm not going back to sin. I got one plan. It's plan A. I'm going to serve Jesus all the days. Come on, somebody clap your hands. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody say plan A. Now, this happened recently. I went to preach for Brother Chad Craig in Kettering, Ohio, good man, friend of mine. So I went by to help him with some accounting like I did here. And he said, you got to preach. I said, please. He said, no. So I did. And so I preached this thought that I'm preaching tonight. There was a young lady there that night. There was a backslider. And she came running to the altar, and she prayed back through tremendously under conviction. She told her pastor, said, look, I know I went out to plan B, but said, I just, on the altar tonight, I destroyed it. From now on, Brother Craig, it's plan A. I'm going to tell you what happened. I got a call from Brother Craig about 2 months later. He said, Brother Mead, this sister that came back and prayed says she's sick in the hospital. She's got a very bad case of poisoning or some kind of disease. So we prayed for her. She died. But on her deathbed, she looked at Pastor and said, Brother Craig, it's plan A all the way. You can go by her tombstone. On her tombstone, she had that, they put that on there. Plan A all the way. Now she gets to hear the trumpet sound, feel a change. I'm going to tell you also, you don't know if you'll live 2 more days or not. The rapture may take place in the morning, but when you leave this house, it better be plan A. It's me and Jesus, nothing else. Hallelujah. 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 Why don't you stand with me tonight? I feel God right now. God right now, in the name of Jesus. I feel so strong just right now. You're somebody's trying to figure out how to do this and do that too. You can't do it. You got to burn the plow, kill the oxen. You can't be Elisha the farmer no more. You got to be a child of God. You got to live for God. Young people, quit looking for another thing to do in life. This is the best life. This is the best thing. This is the only way out of here. This is our exit strategy. Plan A, all the way. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You've felt the Holy Ghost. You've felt the Word of God. You've felt the power of God. You're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. God directed your steps to this house. You might have been a saint here for a long time, a young person growing up, and the devil's trying to talk you into going back to something else, to try something else. Why don't you go ahead tonight, before you leave this house, and walk up front and make a commitment. Say, God, I want you to know that you're the only plan in my life. I'm not going back. The world is not my home. I'm not going to the right. I'm not going to the left. I'm going on with Jesus. Let this be a transition service tonight. Somebody could have a transition moment before you walk out of here. I pray right now that somebody gets touched and affected. I don't care if you're 10 years old or you're 90 years old. You need to have a plan A only in your life. Quit worrying about what if. When you're serving God, it's not what if. He is abundantly able to do above, exceedingly above all that we're able to think and ask. You can say, as Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ. Which, listen, you can change your life tonight. In Jesus' name, I pray the mantle of the Holy Ghost touch you right now. Somewhere in this building, the mantle of the Holy Ghost touch somebody right now, and you can walk out different. Come on, somebody, will you hear it? Will you please respond? Come on, you don't have to go back to what you were doing. You don't have to be no. You can be different. The best days of your life is to go ahead and do plan A with God. Let God direct every day. Live expecting Jesus to come back. Somebody come help me pray. There's folks here seeking God right now. Somebody needs a touch. Somebody needs encouragement. Somebody needs help. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, feel the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. The devil's trying to tell somebody, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You're not making a mistake. The mantle of the Holy Ghost is in this house. The touch of God is in this place. And God wants to move you, transition you onto a road that you never have to look back. Never have to look back. Found joy, I found peace, grace and favor. Right now is the moment. Today is the day. I've been changed. I got a new plan A. I've been changed. Oh, of all plan A is serving God. Eliminate any idea of going back. Eliminate the possibility. Burn the equipment. Kill that plan B right now at the altar. Say, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the mantle has touched me here today. Things are going to change in my life. Please don't leave until you got plan A settled in your heart. Come on, do it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Delivered, you can be delivered free. Found joy. I found peace. Found grace. I found favor. The Holy Ghost is falling on somebody. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Come on, it can change your life. Go back. Can't go back. Can't go back. Never. Holy Ghost is here changing somebody right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, give me that transitional change. Come on, church. Many of you tonight need to be sure it's plan A. Don't let the devil talk you into doing something else, something dangerous, something stupid. Don't do it. Eliminate the possibility of ever going back. Somebody right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost is touching somebody right now. God's in the house. Come on, you don't have to go back to a plan B. God's got something better. God's got a better way. Better life. A better promise. A better hope. A better friend. Feel the Holy Ghost. God's dealing with somebody. Come on, young person. Be sure, young person, you got a plan A in your life. Don't let the devil talk you into something going on out there in the world. It's not there. Come on, believe God tonight. Believe God. Tell God you're willing to do His way. Thank you.